So this morning we're going to talk about the chapter in Essential Ernest Holmes called Conviction, Warmth, Color, and Imagination. And as always this year, this is the second talk on this subject. Judy Oliver spoke on it 2 weeks ago. And she did a wonderful job talking about this topic, particularly the conviction part of it. And there are many, many different things in this chapter. He covers a lot of different things in virtually every chapter. And so we get to choose the piece of it that we want to focus on. And I told everybody who was here in the room that I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning and I rewrote my talk. And one of the things that happened is that David sent me the link of the talk by this title I gave 8 years ago, because this is the second time we've worked on Essential Ernest Holmes. And I had the desire 2 weeks ago to listen to that talk, and I never got to it. And when I did try to get it, I couldn't load it. And so David sent it to me in a way I could load it. And I heard it this morning for the first time. And it was very revealing to me where I've come, because the emphasis of what I wanted to talk about had really shifted from 8 years ago to today. But it clarified a lot of things of where I've come in my life from 8 years ago to today and how I see things now, which helped me focus what I wanted to share with you. And when we had the earlier discussion, there was this wonderful comment Val said. The prayer that I gave at the beginning of our session summarized for her with the words, "Seize your divinity." And that's what this talk is about now, seizing your divinity. That's a perfect phrase for it. Put the talk into three words, seize your divinity, for sure. And so let me start out with the piece that really grabbed me when I reread the chapter this morning after I'd heard my other talk. It was the very first thing in the chapter was a quote from The Voiced Celestial, which is the epic poem that Ernest wrote with his brother Fenwick during the last 2 years of his life. And in it, he does a lot of different things, but one of the things he does is speak for the presence. So this is the presence speaking to us. "Whose heart is fixed upon the good, because it is the good, shall fill his soul with good. And he who revels in the beautiful, because he sees in it the beautiful, shall grow a soul as beautiful as well. So he who loves all things that live and breathe shall know the love of loves within the me. Where love is felt, where unity is known, while he who serves but one has served the whole. God loves them all and knows them soul by soul. Man's love is an instrument of something higher, a cosmic love, to which he is the lyre," L-Y-R-E, the harp, the instrument, lyre. So the human being is the instrument of the divine. And becoming more conscious of that fact, that out when we love, we are giving all the love. We are the love. And so, listening to my talk from 8 years ago, I realized that when I wrote that talk, when I gave that talk, I was in the middle of writing the Chatting with the Beloved books. And I was very conscious of the fact that we have the ability to connect with the divine within us. And when I gave that talk, I was focused on connecting with the divine within us. And yet, over the last few weeks, when I've been working on this talk, what has been inspiring me has been quote after quote after moment of focusing on acknowledging the divine in everything we look at. And this morning when I looked at my book, I picked up my book and I opened it, and this is what I read in my book right after reading what Ernest says about man's love is instrument of something higher, a cosmic love to which he is the liar. Beloved said, your love really does matter, quite literally, in fact. Your focus on love changes the matter, the substance of your life and the life of humanity on the planet. And this morning when Lavanya came in, she gave me this ball that has the world on it. And she said, I think you need to use this to illustrate your talk today. So Lavanya's intuition was working full time, because we are, the focus on love changes the matter, the substance of your life and the life of humanity on planet Earth. Our love changes the world. Which is pretty profound, and I'm grateful to Lavanya for helping me illustrate it with the ball, which is the globe in action here. The beloved went on to say, your perception of the love that flows between us all, to you and from you, allows you to direct the infinite flow among people, animals, plants, and things on the earth and in the universe. You have become a conscious part of the cosmic distribution system of divine love. Doesn't that sound exciting? The cosmic distribution system of divine love, and we are agents of that. We are instruments of divine love. All the love you have ever given or received has been part of our love, beloved said. You accept that your mind is part of the one mind, while your heart is part of the one heart. Your love is part of the one love. That fact doesn't lessen the value of your love, it greatly amplifies it. When you tap into our love, you glow with our light, you flow with our grace. You feel inspired, uplifted, and energized. And just as Lavanya was this morning, you bring something to somebody that illustrates what they're about to talk about. It's very exciting when that happens, when we feel the inspiration and we act on it, and we see it come to fruition. It's very, very powerful. And so there have been all these moments in the past couple of weeks where things kept coming to me. One of them was the moment when I was on Facebook and I opened this posting on Facebook, and it was a picture of a hollyhock flower. And that's particularly meaningful to me right now, because for the past 6 or 8 weeks since our friend Holly made her transition into non-physical, I've been seeing small hawks. I finally figured out they're actually Merlins, and I've seen 11 of them. Now, to my knowledge, I've never seen a Merlin before in my life. I've seen peregrines and kestrels and red-shouldered and red-tailed and Cooper hawks, but I had never before consciously seen a Merlin, and now I've seen 11 of them. And so I began calling them the hollyhocks. And then I realized that, of course, is a pun for the flower by the name hollyhock. And it made me laugh because Holly knew I loved birds, she knew I loved flowers, and she knew I loved to laugh, and she often made me laugh. So she managed to pull off all three with her hollyhocks and continues to send them to me on a regular basis. So that's very exciting. So when Facebook sent me a hollyhock, I had to pay attention. And this is the quote that came with it. When we see the beloved in each person, it is like walking through a garden, watching flowers bloom all around us. When we see the beloved in each person, it is like walking through a garden, watching flowers bloom all around us. And that was one of the things I loved about Holly. She always saw the best in each person, and she did her best to amplify it. She called to us to express our gifts. So this week, I was listening to Song Garden. Friends of ours, Kathleen Huber and Tom Bodine, and Tom was singing a song that he has often sung over the years. It's called Swimming to the Other Side. And apparently it was written by somebody around here who I don't know, and I don't know the name of it. I learned it from Elaine Silver, who is a metaphysical musician who travels from Florida to New Jersey periodically, and she used to give concerts on the way forward and back in this area when she was traveling between her two homes. And the words in that song that I was remembering were, when I heard Tom sing it, it really got to me, because the words in the song are talking about we're all swimming in the stream together, some in power and some in pain. And when we get there to the other side, we'll discover all the gifts we've been given to share have been with us since life's beginning, but we never noticed they were there. And I've been hearing that song for close to 20 years, I'm sure. And every time I hear that song, there is this place within me that says, not if I can help it. It's a calling to me to say, the gifts we've been given to share, I want to see yours, and I want to acknowledge them. I want to say, I know who you are. I see the beauty within you. I see the power within you. I see the talent within you. I see the grace of who you are. And I want to call you on it. You know, I want to shout out about it. And to tell people who they are, that is one of the greatest gifts that we can give. We can just acknowledge somebody. And in that acknowledgement, there is something really powerful. And yesterday on Facebook, here comes a picture of Winnie the Pooh. And whether Winnie or somebody in that book said this, or they just used the picture to illustrate this, I don't know. But the quote was, when you see something beautiful in someone, tell them. It may take a second for you to say it, but for them, it could last a lifetime. When you see the beautiful, say it. When you're walking through the garden, seeing the beloved in each person, the flowers bloom around us, particularly when we acknowledge them. And I took a walk this morning, like Bethany. It was cool out, and I was up really early. And so I went out for a walk, and on the corner, as I came around by my house, there was this beautiful garden in full bloom. And I thought, you're supposed to acknowledge the beauty. So I quickly sent a Facebook message to my neighbor. And I said, your garden is just beautiful, and I'm loving all the colors that I'm seeing it in it today. And she sent it back, and she said, oh, I love those flowers because they're low maintenance. And I said, the best of all possible worlds. High visibility, low maintenance. How much better can it get than that? And just acknowledging people for what they're doing that makes the world a better place is so simple. It took me, 10 seconds to voice recognition. Fortunately, all came out right. To send that message to her and tell her that her flowers mattered today, that she decorated her home made a difference to me on my walk this morning. It's so simple, and yet it's really easy to forget. So I want to remind you, it's easy to acknowledge the truth of someone else's divinity. Don't just seize your divinity, seize theirs and feed it back to them. Ernest Holmes said in Living the Science of Mind, God is personal to everyone. And the wonderful thing is that each represents God in a unique way. Each individualizes God, and no two individualizations are identical. Thus, the personality of God is not only real to us, but it is uniquely real. We are seeing it in everyone we encounter every single day. Every time. Ernest in Can We Talk to God said, there is something in us that longs for the sympathetic understanding, the kindly response, the sense of a presence which is warm, pulsating, and colorful. We must have it, and I sense that as we meet each other in love and friendship, in the warmth of a handshake and in good fellowship, it is God. What else could it be? The hand that gives is the hand of God, and the eye that sees is the eye of God. In each other, through each other, we contact God. I think that as we contact each other, we are contacting a definite, direct manifestation of deity. When we talk to each other, I think that God is talking to God. So what happens if we begin to recognize that divine in each other? What happens? I think what happens is the things that Ernest talks about in this chapter. Conviction. We begin to believe because in our thinking about this, we attract more of it. So we see evidence of the truth. We acknowledge the divine, and the divine begins to show up in colorful and amazing ways. Again, from my book, even in the midst of seeming trouble, there's always something that feels a little better to focus on than the rest. Training your mind to focus on a little glimmer of light lines you up to see more light. When I was in practitioner training, I had the quote from Ernest Holmes on my notebook for both years that I was taking the classes, where in the Science of Mind textbook he says, we know more light will be given as we use that which we have. And that's true of all of the qualities of God. We know more love will be given as we use that which we have. We know more health will be given as we use that which we have. We know more abundance will be given as we use that which we have. We are blessed in our knowing of who we truly are and are living that reality. And so, Ernest talked in this chapter about spiritual mind treatment. And somewhere here, is that page? Or not? well, that page has disappeared, so I guess we don't want to talk about that. And I see that I should be wrapping up anyway. So what I wanted to say about treatment, and I will say it without the quote, which will make it quicker, is that when we do prayer, in Science of Mind, we have this formula for prayer. Step one is, God is. And then you say whatever it is that you know that God is. God is light and love and peace and power and grace and health and wholeness and prosperity and joy. God is. And step two is unification. I am that which God is. So I am health and wholeness and clarity and peace and beauty and harmony and love. I am that. Step three is realization, which is the awakening. If God is and I am that, therefore my life must work. I am God in expression, therefore there is a divine life expressing in me as me. And that's a very, very powerful thing. And step four is thanksgiving. When I know my life works, I'm automatically grateful. When I remember that I'm already blessed, I'm grateful, so I give thanks. And the final step is letting go. I relax in trust as I release my word into the law, allowing it to be. And so it is. I almost always say it that way. I relax in trust. I let go and let God because I believe, because I've seen demonstrated in my life for 30 years now in Science of Mind, that when I let go, good things come. The good exists. I believe it. I trust it. I see it in action, in my friends' lives, in my life in general. Good happens when we relax and trust and let go. And that's what spiritual mind treatment is about, our form of prayer. It's about remembering that God is and that I am that. And when I remember that, everything else flows. And I tend to use the same words when I treat for other people. If I'm treating for health, I say, the healing, loving energy of God exists in every organ, cell, and system of their body. And I now see that wholeness revealed that brings balance and harmony to every aspect of their being. When I treat for somebody to get a job, I say, I see this person in a job that they truly enjoy doing, doing work that feels like purpose, where they are well rewarded personally, professionally, socially, and financially. I don't use those words because there's magic in the words. I use those words because they remind me of the feeling of that truth, that everybody's here for a purpose, that there is something for them to do in this world that is a blessing for everyone and for them. I use the words about health because they remind me that healing happens. And I celebrate it every time I see something going wrong in my own life. You know, I fell down the stairs a month ago and I hurt myself a lot. Fortunately, didn't break anything, I don't think, but man, I was in pain for a couple of weeks. And this morning, when I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I rolled over on my right side without pain for the first time in a month. Healing happens. Healing wants to happen. If we just relax and trust, healing wants to happen. And if there's anything for us to do, we will know it. We will be inspired to the action that's necessary. In Science of Mind, we're not like Christian Science. We don't say, don't use the doctors. We say, you know, use the best doctors. Use the technology and the pharmacology and the alternative methods and the nutrition and all of the things that are available to help us reveal the health, the dentistry, that helps us reveal the best of who we are and what we do. So that's treatment. And treatment is a way of expressing the unification of me and the divine. And when the practitioners are trained, they are trained to see that truth about everyone they treat for. So that when we do the prayer, we see the divine in them. And everybody who practices Science of Mind is a practitioner. You may not be a licensed practitioner because you haven't taken the classes and the exams, but if you're practicing this way of thinking, you are indeed a practitioner. And so practicing seeing the beloved, seeing the divine, seeing the wholeness, of each person that you encounter, and thinking about that love everywhere you think about anyone or anything. Just surround them with love. Allow that infinite love to flow through you to bless the planet, because we are capable of having a blessing go out into the consciousness of humanity with every thought that we choose to think with the heart of God. For that I am grateful. And so it is. So it is.